I do believe women, at least one time in their lives, have dreamed about being the most beautiful bride, having the most glorious life, and living happily ever after with the perfect husband. But we all know the truth is we won't. Those dreams are not real, maybe in Hollywood, but not in reality. Oh, ladies, those dreams will be reality in eternity with our God. If you want to hear more about Jesus being your loving husband, who you will live happily ever after with for eternity, then listen to this devotion. Devotion 7 of the Bible study, God Loves You and Me. You won't be sorry. Theme of Devotion 7 is, Jesus Christ, your husband, will never stop loving you. In this devotion, I'm going to share some insights about Jesus being our husband or bridegroom by asking questions and answering them. Important notice. So you will understand the scriptures that talk about God being our husband, you need to keep in mind the verses in both the Old and New Testament that talk about marriage come from Jewish customs, not the magazine Beautiful Bride. I will share these customs throughout this devotion. First question. How long has God, your husband, loved you? You know, we could say the idea of God romancing us, loving us, of making us his bride, was on his heart and mind before there was time. That's kind of neat, isn't it? The Bible makes it clear God's love for us is forever, eternal, everlasting. God's love for you started in eternity, so you have never been unloved by God. I know some of you have or have had a husband who seemed to do anything but love you, not God. He has been waiting to love you from eternity past. And you might say, where did you get that? This whole thought. Ephesians 1:4 says, even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him because of his love. He chose you to love you in eternity past. You have a choice too. Will you choose to love him? Second question. When does Jesus Christ become your husband? Well, at the moment you believed in him, you became his loved bride. Thinking about a Jewish custom, the father of the bride would give his daughter gifts. to prepare her for her new life with her husband. The gifts were also a part of her inheritance. Now, we get toasters and stuff like that to prepare us for our new married life. But I guess back then they would get maybe donkeys, expensive cloth, jewels. No, I'm not sure, but I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. Just kind of like the Jewish custom, God, our Father, gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live as Jesus' bride, to know that we are His bride, for sure. And I think this is a lot better than a donkey or a toaster, don't you? All kidding aside, Romans 5:5b says, "For God has poured out His love within our hearts by the means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us, His Son's bride." Ephesians 1:13-14 also tells us how God has loved us through the Holy Spirit living within us. The verse says, "After listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him, Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, a promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance." So what do those verses mean? Well, you know I'm going to tell you. The Holy Spirit is our pledge from God. Now, if you listen to Devotion 4 of this study, you might remember what the Greek word for pledge means. But let me refresh your memory. The word pledge, even today in Greece, can mean engagement ring. Of course, you know what an engagement ring is. It is a promise from a man to a woman that he will marry her. The Holy Spirit is God's engagement ring to us. He is God's symbol of love given to us so that we can know without a shadow of a doubt we are Jesus' bride forever. Instead of wearing the love symbol on our finger, we wear Him in our hearts. Since believing in Jesus makes you His bride and gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit from your Father, have you ever believed in Him? Oh, He wants so much for you to be His. Third one. Did you know Jesus, your husband, had to sacrifice His very life to marry you? Now, some of you might be wondering what I am meaning exactly by that. Scripture tells us, before we are Christians, we are in slavery to sin. We could say sin was our slave master. Remember Sir Sin in Devotion 6. This slave master owned us and controlled us. So Jesus, our would-be husband, couldn't even have a relationship with us, much less marry us. he could only love us from afar. How sad. You know, there is a Jewish custom of paying a price for the bride. Now, the price that was paid would reflect her value, which makes sense. God, our Father, and our husband, Jesus Christ, paid a huge price, oh, so huge, for you and me to be his. Sadly to say, it was his very life. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross paid the price our sin demanded to buy us out of slavery to sin, away from Sir Sin, so we could be free to marry our God who loves us so very much. Ephesians 5:2 says, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Whew! His sacrifice for you to marry you was, we could say, priceless. My question is, since your husband paid so much to marry you, how can you show him you're glad he did? Fourth question. We all want to be of great value to at least one person, don't we? I know I do. So how valuable are you to Jesus, your husband? You can tell what value someone is to a person by how much he is willing to give or sacrifice for that person. I know some of you feel like you aren't worth much at all. I can struggle with this because of the lies you were told as a child or as an adult or both. What you need to remember is you are worth so much to your God. Your value is so great to Jesus Christ, your husband, so much so that he gave something that is beyond cost, his very life, to be with you. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus Christ gave his very life to be with you. What worth you have to him. Did you realize when Jesus, our husband, died for us, we were still his enemy? We still didn't want to be his. We were rejecting him. Did he hurt because we didn't want to be his? I would say yes. Yet Hebrews 2 tells us, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. We are his joy. Because of us, his joy, he endured the cross. He actually rejoices over us being his bride. Isaiah 62:5 says, and as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Just think of at a wedding when the bridegroom finally sees his bride. There is a look of joy on his face. You are Jesus's joy. Zephaniah 3:17 pretty much says this. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Jesus says, hooray, when he thinks of you. We are valuable to Jesus. The question is, do you treat him as valuable to you? Do you know, ladies, even as a Christian, our actions can be saying, I don't care about you, God. Ouch. You don't really want to be telling God by your actions that you don't care about him, do you? Fifth question. Does Jesus truly want and desire you? As women, we all long to be desired and wanted, don't we? I was talking to one of my friends about the theme of this devotion. She told me something really sad. As a teenager, even as an adult woman, she found herself just having sex with a guy to feel wanted and desired, even for that short time. Maybe you have allowed yourself to be abused too, just so you will be wanted. She went on to say to me that she has learned from God's word that she does not have to be hurt or abused to have Jesus adore her. He just does. John 14:1-3 makes it very clear to us that Jesus truly wants and desires us. These verses paint a beautiful picture of him wanting us to be with him, oh, so much in eternity. Jesus is speaking. Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. Let's put this in human terms so we can really understand what an awesome thought this is coming from Jesus. Since our kids are grown, of course they could live with us, grown or not, but they don't. They don't live with us. And we don't see them a lot. So when one or all of them are coming to visit, I start getting things ready. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see them. I make sure we have what makes them happy. I buy their favorite foods, drinks. I make sure I have what will make them comfortable sleeping, their favorite type of pillow. I make the house as perfect as possible for them. So our time together is wonderful. I think you understand what I'm trying to get at. Jesus wouldn't be in eternity right now preparing a place for us to live with him throughout eternity if he wasn't excited about us being with him, if he didn't want us and desire us. He is looking so forward for us being with him. He's getting everything ready. I'm not quite sure what that means, but that does mean we know for sure that he desires us with him. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter who we are or what we have done, he still desires us to be with him if we are his bride by believing in him. But I'm going to challenge you, since he desires and wants you, and he is doing action to prove he does. He died for you. He's preparing a place for you. What actions do you do right now to prove you desire and want him? Are you reading his word? Are you praying? Sixth question. Is God a faithful husband? Some of you have had or have a husband that has been unfaithful to you. No matter what we call him, a womanizer, a jerk. It hurts and can make all relationships feel insecure, even scary to you. So what happens is you can just naturally think and feel even God will be unfaithful too. But God is faithful. You see, God's love and faithfulness isn't bound by what we do. It is bound by who he is. His character says he is faithful. He never lies. He never changes. So, of course, he is committed to us completely and fully in our marriage relationship. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not like people who lie. He is not a human who changes his mind. Whatever he promises, he does. He speaks and it is done. Even if we are unfaithful to him, and we are all the time, I know I am, so I imagine you are, he is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are not faithful, he remains faithful, because he cannot be false to himself. In other words, go against his faithful character. Seventh question. Does Jesus, your heavenly husband, think you are beautiful? If you have listened to Devotion Zero, you would have heard me talk about God creating you beautiful, as a husband would think of his wife as beautiful. Now I know most of us, me included, don't think we are beautiful. So I'm going to prove to you all and to myself, or should I say underlined it to myself, that we're beautiful to God. In Genesis 1, God calls his creation, the man and the woman, very good. The Hebrew word good is like a diamond, has many gorgeous sides to it. So it means you are beautiful, delightful, pleasant, precious, excellent, lovely, convenient, and a joy to your God. God made you so he would delight in you, take pleasure in you. Think you are beautiful. This includes even your looks, ladies. That weird nose, the big feet, the saddlebags, I can certainly have those. And your personality, your strengths, your weaknesses, and so on. But not your sin. He never takes pleasure. He never thinks your sin is good. Frankly, it's the opposite of good. Bad. Sin did play havoc with God's perfect creation. Yet God tells us in Psalm 139, 13 through 14. Let me remind you, this passage was written thousands of years after the human race had been flawed by sin. But in these verses, God still says that He created us fearfully, which means in the Hebrew, awesomely. Isn't that neat? And He also created us wonderfully, which means amazingly constructed. Whoa, ladies, we are amazingly constructed. You and me are so beautiful to our God, who is our husband, even in our earthly bodies. Have any of you ever dreamed about being the most beautiful bride there ever was? Come on, ladies, I think we've all had that thought. I know I have, at least a few times. At least one time in your life, you know that Cinderella attitude. That's why in America, us brides have a ritual to make ourselves beautiful, especially for our Prince Charming. So what is this ritual? Well, of course, you have to find the perfect dress that fits perfectly. Then you have to make sure your hair is the right length, the right color, the right curls, straight or whatever. And then, of course, your nails have to be the right length, the right color to match everything. And, of course, there's the makeup. Some of us take hours, and the rest of us, well, we just throw things on our face, whatever. You also have to make sure you have just the right tan, which could get complicated. But us brides persevere and become beautiful brides. Now, I know to American males, because I have three of them, thinks all of this is just too extreme until they see how beautiful their bride looks. If you think the American woman's wedding ritual is extreme, listen to this. The Jewish custom was to take a year to get ready for the wedding day. It was called the betrothal time. During this time, both the bride, groom, and bride were getting ready. I don't think the American male would understand this at all. What the bridegroom was doing was getting a place ready for his bride to live. Guess it makes a lot of sense. Does this sound familiar to you? Remember what I just said about Jesus. He is getting a place ready for you in heaven so that you can live with Him. However, with Jesus being His bride, Him being our husband, Prince Charming, we could say, there is a huge difference. Yes, he is concerned over our looks because he created us and he knows we are concerned over the physical. But in reality, it is not the physical that he gets so wound up about like we do, especially us women. Ladies, what he cares about, what he sees that we don't see, is our hearts. And before we are Christians, these hearts are downright ugly to Jesus. But when we become his bride, through his Spirit, he starts making those hearts, our hearts, beautiful to him. Our job is we need to let him. My question, ladies, do you let his Spirit make you beautiful to him from the heart on out? Ephesians 5:25 through 27 kind of sums up what we were just talking about. This is my paraphrase. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, so the Holy Spirit, the gift from God, can come to live within us, so that the Spirit can make us beautiful, pure, without any spot or wrinkle or any imperfection to our husband, Jesus. One last thing before we end. I think most of you have done at least one thing, I've done many, that you are ashamed of, that you feel disgraced and humiliated over. You feel if people truly knew who you were or what you have done, they wouldn't like you, much less love you. Jesus, your husband, has seen you, yeah, at your best, but he has seen you at your worst. Believe me, he sees everything. He knows you better than you know yourself. He loves you no matter what you have done or who you are. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. He knows your words before you say them. He knows your true heart motives. We could say, the one who knows you the best loves you the most. Isaiah 54:4-5 says, do not be afraid. Oh, ladies, do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. He is called the God of all the earth. Oh, ladies, he is wiped away all your sin because he paid the price to have you with him so that you could be pure before him. Oh, dear Lord, your love made us your beautiful bride. We ask you that you would empower us to love you back, to please you because we love you. Amen, Lord. Amen.